This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's a good question. We've seen life coaches. We've seen coaches in sports. Could you take a life coach, put them in charge of a sports team, and they'd bring out the very best because the fundamentals and principles are the same? How about someone that's been a successful high school coach that became a life coach and is now going back to become a high school coach? Can he take what he's learned as a life coach and as a basketball coach and bring it to a team that he's going to try to rebuild? Really good questions. Joining us on the Shift Real Estate Hotline, Todd Dufault, who I've known for years from his days back in Waseca, where that name is legendary, now at North Branch, where he just took the job as the head boys basketball coach. Thank you, Todd, for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mike.
Tell me about this, because first of all, let's start with you. You're part of the Maxwell Group. Explain what you do by day.
Well, I'm pretty fortunate to be able to work with a lot of kids, a lot of schools, corporations, athletic teams, any type of organization on leadership training. And I just this past, about a year and a half ago, I took a certification class with John Maxwell and was able to be certified. And what that did is just give me an opportunity to have some of his material and, again, learn from the best when it comes to leadership in the business world. Oh. And so that's what... leadership training is that's kind of my full-time job, and now basketball is certainly a fun hobby for me.
So is leadership, or is it completely different when you're talking to somebody in the business world or even in administration at a school versus somebody that you're trying to get to play point guard for you?
I really think it's the same. I think it's very transferable, no matter, you know, what organization that you're working with, what team you're working with. And I think it all starts with relationships. Because without an opportunity to build a relationship, you can't earn someone's trust. And I think it's got to start with that trust in order for people to want to follow you and believe in what you're saying and what you're doing. And so, you know, whether you're in a corporate office or you're in the high school or you're with your basketball team in the gym, you've got to have that trust with your players. And you want your players to trust each other, and I think that's where it begins.
Yeah, there are athletes that go on and they take their skill set and they apply it to the rest of their lives. They do wonderful things. There are other athletes that don't, that fall short. And many of them, some of you say, boy, I thought they were a can't-miss kid when coming out of high school or whatever. I just thought the world was an oyster to them, and it didn't happen, even though they were great leaders in high school or they had great success. What usually happens when they don't make that step?
Well, I think it's a personal choice that every athlete has to make, every business person, every leader out there. You've got to decide what type of leader you're going to be. Are you going to be one that attracts people, or are you going to have an ego and think that you have all the answers and then maybe be a turnoff to people? And so I think sometimes, a lot of athletes, you know, they get caught up into maybe what's been written about them, or
sure, or maybe that skill is applicable in high school because maybe you're the senior and you got a bunch of sophomores that are just looking to you so you can be a dictator, but then it doesn't work at the next level, huh?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, if you can have the mindset, you know, I'm right now taking over a brand new program. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to coach at North Branch.
Yep,
and it's so much fun right now because we're, you know, just a little over a week into our summer season. And just having the opportunity to build those relationships with the kids and get them to understand that You know, sometimes we take ourselves a little bit too serious. And sometimes we don't take the time to look at what's happening around us. And I think a big part of leadership is having the ability to develop empathy, but also that awareness that what's happening around me and how are people responding to me? And am I a leader that people want to be around and follow? Or am I someone who maybe is, I struggle maybe with developing relationships, so therefore it's very difficult for me to develop trust. So I think that plays a part in a lot of people, is we get caught up in our own self, and we have to realize that even though it starts with us, it's not about us. And for me, being a basketball coach, it's not about me. It's about my kids. It's about the program and what we can do together, because it takes a village to run a program. And you need support from many different people, like parents and administration and just the players themselves. They have to support each other and encourage each other. So there's a lot of things that go into, you know, building a program and getting kids to want to play for their teammates. And that's hard to do.
So here, you've done it before at Waseca. You beat a kid. By the way, it was interesting. I ran across this on one of our archive tapes not that long ago. When your nephew made the three-quarter shot at Gustavus against Marshall, right? In that game, another kid that made a big shot was a sophomore by the name of Trey Lance. Did you remember him as an athlete?
I tell you, I just remember seeing Trey when he was a sophomore, and you could tell he's a special kid because he's a special person. And that's what we were just talking about, you know.
Yeah, you talk about leading. Okay, now you're going to lead an NFL team in San Francisco. That's about as big as it gets for a 22-year-old.
And I'm not surprised, and I think a lot of people who know Trey are not surprised, because, you know, Trey has such a great foundation as a person. And he's a leader because he chose to be a leader at some time in his life, and he really spent time focusing on himself as far as developing those leadership skills. And then he realized it's not about him. And if you watch Trey now, he's so modest. And, I mean, he just handles himself in such a professional manner that it really separates himself from other football players, and you can see that happen.
Okay, so now you're at North Branch. You've done this before. You've been a successful athlete yourself. What's the first thing you do to try to take a program that hasn't won that many games of late to try to get them? A, they got to believe, but they also got to want to practice. They got to want to make a commitment to this. How do you try to motivate them to want to be good and to take it serious enough so their summers mean just as much as their winters do in the sport?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first thing that I'm trying to do as a head coach is I'm really focusing on my guys. I want to build relationships, and I want to earn their trust first. Because if I don't earn their trust, what I say and some of the things that we do, it might take them some time to really believe that. But that's where it's got to start. And then you already said it. You've got to build belief. You know, I'm working with my kids right now to believe, because there is more in them than they even realize. And you've got to be able to get into the gym and let them see that and feel it. But more importantly, get them to understand that you have to earn everything. You've got to put in the work. And let's go to work together, and let's encourage each other. And that's what we're doing right now. It's been such a great week and a half so far in the gym. I got guys that are showing up, and they're putting in the work. And they're so coachable. There's another big thing for when you're in athletics. You've got to be coachable. And I really believe my guys are hungry to turn things around, and they're coachable, and they're just trying to get better every day. And that's what we focus on, two things every day. Let's focus on the things we can control, and let's focus on getting 1% better every single day. And everything else will take care of itself.
You come from a family where athletics and doing well and leadership go hand in hand. Your brother Monty played for the Minnesota Twins organization. Your father was an instructor at Waseca there and knows it well. How much does leadership come from the family that you grew up in?
Well, there's no doubt that my father made a huge impact on me. And I saw him, what he did with his instrumental program, being a band director.
He had a great band, and you guys were musical and athletic, and the Dufault family, and it just goes on and on.
Well, I think people wanted to be in the band program because they felt like they were getting something out of it. they felt it was something that was giving back to them, and it was successful because of the kids. And my dad was just a great leader. He was able to bring out the best in kids. And I learned that from my dad, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And that's something I'll never forget. And I'm so thankful that I had that opportunity to be able to be around him. I mean, almost half the school was in his band program back in the day. And it was just amazing how, when you talk about culture, and I'm talking about that with my guys right now, it's you have got to create an environment where people can be themselves and they want to be there. And it's a positive environment. And I believe my dad, he did that. And I didn't even realize what was happening. I was too young. But those are things that we talk about with my basketball program now, is we want to develop leaders within this program. And we want to develop guys in this program that want to put their team first. And the only way you can do that is create a culture that's very positive and where kids want to come into the gym, because that environment is so positive and they feel like they're getting something out of it every time they come.
You, Waseca, finally got that coveted state championship this last year in basketball, and your nephew was in the middle of it. He's going to St. Thomas to play, and he was one fun point guard to watch, and he was a great quarterback, I know, in high school. Is he a natural leader, or did he teach himself to be a leader?
Well, you know, Ryan, you know, I think when you talk about people who are just natural leaders, Ryan's a natural leader, you know, and whether he realizes or not, he started to develop that as a younger kid. But, you know, he was a very confident kid always. And we joked about having to tone down his confidence because maybe he was too confident when he's younger. But it's like, hey, you can always scale back on an athlete. It's hard to rev them up, and it's hard to coach kids who have a passion. And, you know, Ryan's a gamer, as everybody saw. I mean, he loves the big moments. He loves the pressure moments, and he is a natural leader because kids would feed off of that, and they feed off that confidence. And, of course, Ryan was really good at getting his teammates involved. And I think there's just a lot of confidence that was built within that team, and they really trusted each other. And I think that's why they had so much success these last few years. And, you know, Ryan was a big part of leading that crew, no doubt.
Last question, do you think you can teach someone to be great at that sentinel moment when you have to make the shot, when you have to make the pass, when this goes part and parcel with what your nephew did, when you have to get your bat on the ball? Can you teach that in kids? Because there are kids that have ability that can't, when the moment comes, they're overwhelmed by it. Can you teach them to enjoy that moment and to be at your best when the moment gets, when the lights shine the brightest?
That's a great question, because I do think that some kids just have it, and sometimes it's hard to really define what it really is.
But you know it when you see it, right?
You know it when you see it, and I think, you know, I think what you try to do is you try to, every day in practice, create situations that are game-like, create that type of pressure, and get kids used to having that pressure, so when that moment comes, it becomes a little bit more comfortable. But it's tough, Mike, because some kids just, they're able to step up when the pressure's on, and some kids, like you said, may fold. And that's just I don't know if you can coach that. I just think all you can do is you try to put them into those situations, and then repetition builds confidence. And then be able to feel that success builds that confidence, and that's probably all you can really do.
Yeah, because I heard this once, and I think this is a pretty good analogy. Somebody said you can tell if a kid's made for that when you tell him or her, hey, there's a college coach coming to watch you tonight. One kid will say, can't wait for him to get here. This is showtime for me. I'm going to show them why they want me. And the other one says, oh, no, what if I don't play well? To an extent, that defines the person that wants the ball in the last minute and the one that doesn't, right?
It does. You know, it's a mindset.
Yeah. It might not have anything to do with talent.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about that with the kids all the time, is your mind is so powerful that you can convince yourself to things. And I think that in pressure situations, sometimes that little voice inside you might doubt you. Well, then you've got to work your, you know, to the point where you have such a strong mental mindset that you don't even think about that. You're just reacting. You're just going out and playing because you love to compete and you love those moments. And that's, I think that's a mindset. So if you can practice that way, maybe eventually you start developing that type of mindset. And again, it comes easier for some kids. It might be more challenging for others. But that's what's great about being a high school coach is you've got a variety of kids that you're trying to bring together as one and work together as a team and then hopefully accomplish things that you didn't even think were possible.
Well, the Dufault family knows a whole lot about being able to step up at the moment. So thank you for giving us some time. We'll be following you at North Branch this year, but appreciate your time tonight.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
You bet. Todd Dufault. You know,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.